Okay, well, I have felt of late a great stirring in my heart to bring afresh some of the things which I'm going to call back to basics. Because I believe we're in a really difficult place at the moment in our society, and a very difficult place even in the church. And I think we need to really get back to some of the things that Jesus taught us. I believe it's not enough for a person just to come into a relationship and have an encounter with God, is what I'm going to talk about this morning. But I believe that from that, there must be a discipling in to become what Jesus says his church should be. And now that's where the dilemma comes, isn't it? Because I have biblical text here, yeah? Biblical text. Anybody brought a real Bible this morning? Or is it? Oh, I'm impressed. But you see, without getting too deeply theological, I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God. I don't believe there are any mistakes in it. I believe it is totally from cover to cover, the Word of God. So not only do I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God, and I believe, by the way, that there's no difference between Old and New Testament, except that it's just an expansion, the New, and the fulfillment of what God planned and purposed through the Old. Yeah? So one is not bigger and better than the other. It's complete 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, giving us the revelation of God for mankind. For the way he lives, for how to know God, how to love your wife, how to bring up your children, how to be at work, how to do what you should do, how to pay your bills, yeah? And so I believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God, but I also believe in, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, in the inspiration of God's Word. That means that God has breathed on every word. All Scripture is God-breathed. Can you say that with me? God-breathed.
God-breathed.
Okay, so there's not some bits where he went, and other bits where he went, why am I saying that? Because I find that there are some Christians today who start to say that's not as really as meaningful as that. If it's all God's word, amen. If it's inerrant, amen. If it's inspired, I need not only to receive it, I need to believe it and I need to practice it. Here's where it gets a little tricky. Here's where heads from now on start to go down. Okay? But I'm not bothered because I believe there's something God has put prophetically on me to speak about the things that really matter today in the church. Let me give you an example. A minister of this government just recently said that by the autumn he's going to make sure that it is enforceable that all our children are taught the mermaid teaching in schools, that they will be taught about genders, they will be taught that they can choose their gender, they will be taught that they can assign it if they want to. Here's where it gets problematic, because I have a different message here. How many of you get the Christian Concern email? Or the app or whatever. Anybody watch the app this week where a Christian doctor said, actually, I'm a Christian doctor and I do not believe there is anything that can prove that transgender, lesbian, gay, whatever, is what we have to practice. But then another Christian lady from a denomination that's in every town said, well, I disagree. You see, I see a different Jesus. I believe if Jesus was here today, he would be a cross-dresser. And he wouldn't turn water into wine. He'd turn men into women. Christian, according to that, The doctor, when you read all the things underneath, what people are saying is, how can this man be a practicing doctor and believe such archaic nonsense? So what I'm saying is, you see, I'm beginning to see that we really need to get back to what it is to be a Christian. Yeah? And I'm going to attempt, and you know me, I never get very far, do I? But I'm going to attempt to do that this morning. First of all, I want to read you a passage from John 3, which should come up on your screen by, oh no, I'm doing it myself, aren't I? Not by absolute magic, it comes up by me doing this. Is it on? Well, it's been on, so the battery might be flat. Okay, anyway, this is from John chapter 3 and verse 5. And it says this. This is, by the way, a bit of context for you. There was a man, verse 1, of the Pharisees, so very religious, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him. So Jesus said, thank you very much. Did he say that? So Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher in Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I'll stop there because of time. So here's a man. Understand, Nicodemus, he's got a lot of religion. So he understands, as a Pharisee, the Old Testament. He understands the Torah. So he knew about Moses, the five books, the prophets, and so on. He knew about that. He'd heard it regularly. But when he looked at Jesus, he saw someone and something completely different. And so he comes to him and he says, it must be God. Because the things that you're doing, the good works that you're doing in feeding the hungry, in casting out evil spirits, in raising the dead, and all the things that he said, you must be from God to do these things. And Jesus knows that Nicodemus has not really come to debate that subject. He knows he's come really to find out if there's something he can receive himself. And Jesus says to him, truly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm glad that the church is not starchy, cold, stiff upper lip as it used to be. I can't tell you, as a pastor of over 40 years, how many people have said, have come to our churches and said, we like this church because people talk to you. I said, well, where did you go? I'm not going to tell you where, but there are other churches where they don't talk to you. Where you come in and sit for 45 minutes, look at the back of somebody's neck, and lift your eyes and look at somebody at the front, and then there's a benediction, and then you get up and you go out. It's a very personal religion. But in actual fact, there are dangers the other way too. there are dangers in that the grace of God and the love of God, which born-again people experience, that it becomes an attraction to other people who have not been born again. And they come in because they feel the love. Because you know what? It's cold outside. Yeah? And so they come in because we welcome people. If you're a visitor this morning, you are welcome. And I hope you feel the love of God. I hope you've had a smile from somebody. And I hope you weren't talking about cricket. One thing's for sure, if there's any Australians here, they're not. But I won't go into that one. But the danger is this, that we can start through those wonderful feelings and expressions to give off a sense to people that they can be, there can be inclusion without transformation. That's the only way we can get to find all the things that's going on. Because I don't know about you, I'm not a person who doesn't speak my mind and try to bring scripture into what my mind should be thinking and saying. But I've noticed today, if you disagree with anybody on anything, you immediately become their enemy. Now, because I disagree with you, doesn't mean everything about you is wrong. So please, if I disagree with you, don't label me an Islamophobe or a homophobe. Because actually, I believe Scripture. And if I believe that, it's come as I have been born again of God's Spirit and realized that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This might shock you, but I'm hoping to. You see, there was a young American evangelist who was preaching recently at a meeting, and a young couple came forward at the end and said, "Oh, we just love the message of what you said tonight about God's love. Could you please pray a blessing over us?" And as he began to open his arms to pray for them, God said to him, "Just ask them whether they're sleeping together." So he said, "Just before I pray for a blessing, are you married?" "No." "Are you sleeping together?" "Well, yes." "Isn't it all the love of God?" And he said, "I can't pray a blessing on you if you're not prepared to bring your life into truth." Yeah? At which point, he got a two-fingered salute and they went out of the meeting. And he said, "That can't happen, Paul." I'm telling you, we are living in days where we need to know who is really born again of God's Spirit. Because when people are born again, it is not only to enjoy inclusion, it is because of transformation. Because if you've heard me say many times before, you cannot disciple goats, you can only disciple sheep. So we need to be honest. And sometimes we have got so scared in the church nowadays. Don't want to offend. Well, I think I would rather offend a person than offend God. Yeah? So when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he says, Nicodemus, you're not going to get this unless you're born again. You see, what you find out about people who are religious often, but have not got any spiritual life, is they're only operating on one level. So it's the natural level. How can I get back into my mother's stomach and be born again? No, 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 Jesus said. There has to be a birth of water, because all you mums here know that the sign that you're about to give birth is your waters break. Is that right? Well, I don't know. I know for us it was. My wife in particular. And Jesus says, when you are born of the flesh, you are in one environment where you've been for 9 months and you know a larger beating heart than your own, and you know all this fluid around you, and your food comes in by your tummy, and everything's there, and you've got used to that environment, and the bigger you get, you start to say, I ain't going to stay here much longer, so you start kicking the walls of the tummy, and on that day, the waters break, and you come out of that environment into a completely new environment, into a massive world with a billion things to experience. Oh, by the way, you never go back. It's only one direction. If I had time, I'd like to tell you how that same thing applies when you die. Because all you've known is this. But the next phase is the same again. You go from what you know to something even bigger, fantastic, more glorious, that's going to last forever. Yeah? So, Nicodemus looking at one level. So Jesus says, so it is with the Spirit. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There has to be a similar operation in a person who did not know God. In fact, lots of scriptures are coming to my mind right now. In Ephesians it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Yeah? You weren't alive. You had a spirit because God made your body, soul, and spirit. And you've got a spirit, but it's not alive to God because it's been affected by sin. I didn't know this, and Andy didn't know this morning, Andy Tunkslow, but he said to me, Paul, I want to tell you. He said, I just felt the Lord told me this week that I need to understand sin better. Yeah? Because at the end of the day, every song that we sing is about what Jesus did to take away sins. So sins is a biggie. Yeah? It's not something we can detour. It's not something we can go around and ignore. Come to Jesus and feel his love. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I want to tell you what happens when you don't feel his love and you're on a downer. Because them days do come. Because if it's based on feelings, it can change. But actually, we're not based on feelings when you're born again. Something that was dead becomes alive. Yeah? And Jesus says when you're born of the Spirit, it's just like that birthing in the flesh. You're in one place of deadness in sin. You don't know what was happening, but then you hear the message of the gospel. I wish I knew how it worked, didn't you? I wish I could have a pocket full of it, you know, and just walk around going, fum, fum, yeah? I don't know, I've preached all over the world and I never understand why. And in big crowds of thousands of people, 100 people are born again that night. Or why is it when I was in the jungle with small groupings of people, 20, 30, 40 people, and three are born again. It's because it's not about getting bottoms on seats in a building. It's not about believing some values that you might think are quite nice. A.W. Tozer says a lot about that. If you want to read some good books, read his books. Because what he says is, there has to be a new birth in a person that's from one position to another position. And he said, by the way, Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel? That means, do you know what you're talking about? I'm sure you do. As a Pharisee, you know the Torah. So why didn't you understand in Ezekiel 36, it already said that Ezekiel says, there's a day coming when I will pour water, right? And I will also put a new spirit within you, and I will take away your heart that's dead as a stone and give you a heart of flesh that's pumping and alive to God. That's being born again. Because without it, you cannot enter the kingdom of God and you cannot even see the kingdom of God. Because you'll look on a natural plane. But once that wonderful thing takes place, how does it happen? Well, the wind blows. And that's why I like the phrase, better than born again, I like the phrase, born from above. Because that's what it really means. The wind blows. And what you weren't, you become. What you didn't know, you know. And no one can take it away from you. And so, I need to reestablish some scriptures with people because I think it is so important. See, John chapter 1, turn over there, go to verse 13. It says this, talking about those who received Jesus. As many as received him, by the way, could you just say with me there, as many as took hold of him. Can you say that with me? As many as took hold of him. To them he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born. Well, this was big amongst the Jews. Who's your father? Who's your grandfather? Who's your great-grandfather? Which tribe are you from? Where'd you come from? Right back to Abraham. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That simply means because you want to. See, my friend Paul Ilderton, who was a pastor with the Red Indians for many years, he didn't want to become a Christian. He was a bosun. He went to every port in the world as a merchantman. He had more women than hot dinners. He drank gallons and gallons and gallons of beer. And he loved that lifestyle. But once as he was going to Argentina, he had a missionary and his wife and kids on board. And the missionary, before he got off the boat, he says, thank you for giving us such a wonderful trip. And let me tell you why we're going to Argentina. We're going to Argentina because we are Christians and God has called us to be missionaries. And if you don't know what the Christian message is, it's simply this, that every one of us is a sinner. And if we don't do something about our sin, we will go to a Christless eternity when we leave this world. There is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. And you need to know that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And if you will accept this message, you will be saved from the wrath to come. And you will enter the kingdom of his own dear son. God bless you. Never saw him again. But from that moment, the wind blew. And Paul Littleton says to me, oh, brother, he said, it was awful. For 2 years I sat in bars and all my mates have got women and boozing and I'm sat there crying in my beer. Get off my back, God. Why do I feel like this? I'll tell you why. Because if you look, Jesus says, nobody can come to the Father unless the Spirit Nobody can come to Jesus, rather, unless the Father draws them. Yeah? That's why I hate some of this modern gospel stuff, where we say, please, would you accept Jesus? You cannot find the word accept Jesus anywhere in the Bible. You can't. Will you accept him, please? As though, basically, Jesus is some salesman. See, I'm old enough to remember Betterware. Anybody remember Betterware? You're old. All right? And he used to come to the door to my mum. And the trouble was, he was a Christian in the church. He played the piano. I've tried to keep Andy Osborne away from it. Anyway. But he used to come and he'd say, Ethel. And he opened his bag. Have you seen these new dusters? My mum says, well, we're a bit short this week, Tommy. Maybe another week. Oh, but listen. Have you seen this, where you put all your little bits of soap into this thing and you lock it down and you take it in the bath with you and shake it and it turns to bubbles? We had one. My mother bought one. She bought one. Anyway, don't go there. But listen, if we think the gospel's like that, that we're saying to you, please accept Jesus. No, in the Bible does it say that. Here's what it says, and here's the example. There's two people on an aeroplane. Yeah? And the steward comes and he says, I can't tell everybody, but in the next 5 minutes this plane's going to crash. And there's two parachutes for you and your wife. Do you think the wife's going to say, well, actually, I'm not really bothered at the moment because the food's about to come? Or the husband says, well, I'll come back in a little while. I might accept it then, but I'm right in the middle of a movie. If you know that you're going to crash in 5 minutes, you grab them parachutes. And that's what it means in John 1. To as many that received him. The Greek word for receive is take, grab hold of. To as many as grabbed hold of who Jesus is and why they needed him. I don't need Jesus just to give me a warm feeling. I need him to save me from hell, from coming judgment. And I get those people would grab them parachutes. Why is that? Because they've realized their need. Being born again starts with realizing you need God because you're a sinner. Hello? Have you said it recently? Because Paul did. Said, I'm the chief of sinners. I deserve hell. But his grace was poured out on me. That's what Paul says. Friends, our world, wherever you look, in its enlightenment and in its modernness and in its technology, has never been in a worse condition. In fact, even my wife's now gone and bought these bamboo cups to bring to church. Why? Because we're concerned about plastic. Because it's destroying us. See, you might think, well, I'm only how old are you, Gino? 25. I'll take 25. You see, when you're young, you're not really bothered about that sort of stuff. But now I'm a grandparent, and I'm bothered about my grandkids. If Jesus doesn't come, what kind of world are we going to have in 2025 and 2050? Where they can't even breathe hardly in London suburbs. So the government's making all these things. And so it's a, Mr. Trump says it's all a con. You know what I mean? Because whatever we've done, we're messing up our world. We're messing it up for you. Do you know what's the cause of it? Greed and money and sin. One football pitch of the lungs of the Amazon forest is being destroyed every minute. How can you destroy what you need to help the world breathe? There's only one reason: greed and money. Greed and money. So what's greed and money? As far as I remember, it's one of the sins the Bible talks about. Is that right? Talks about sin. So at the end of the day, although we're getting all very ecological, behind it all is sin. Behind it all is what man has done. Human relationships, what we're doing in human relationships. Can't go there, but what we're doing across the planet to each other. I'm tired of turning the radio on, and I listen to a lot of radio. I like radio in bed and going to sleep to it, 10 o'clock news and all that. It's just all the time. It's this morning, Al-Shabaab, another bomb gone off and killed loads of people. Stabbings. Kings Lynn on the news last week. Whoa. I tell you what, it's not football that's coming home, it's evil. It's all around us. The world's in chaos because right now in America there's a hurricane about, you know, hitting. Why is that? It's because creation's out of order, out of sync with God. Why? Because Adam sinned. And once sin came into this world, whether you like it or not, you were born in sin. And Jesus came to deal with sin. So listen, you can't accept Jesus unless you're from the starting point that I need someone to deliver me from my sin. And for that, he's going to have to be gracious because we've all sinned. Yeah? So Jesus comes, praise God. And he's full of grace, but he's also full of truth. The two are not separate. You have to realize that when you're born again, there is a lifestyle of becoming a disciple of Jesus that you are expected to live. The Apostle Paul's teachings to the churches are very clear. Don't do this, do this. That's your old life, this is your new life. Stop lying and do the truth. You can't say that to somebody who's not born again. You see, what happens? Let me read this to you quickly. You see, when you understand that Jesus Christ has done all that for you, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your life. That's why I think Nicodemus was good, because you know what? He was thinking about what's important. There's such a hedonistic life out there. There's such a on your phones and doing it all. Satan says, don't stop and think. But you've only got 70 years, unless you're godly like this couple here and this lady here and anybody else, yeah? And that life has soon gone. I can't believe we're in July, can you? I mean, I'm still in March. I'm trying to catch up. Yeah? Why is that? Because time rolls on, faster, 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 faster. Boom, finished. And it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, heaven. No, it doesn't say that. It says, after that, the judgment. Because what you did on earth here, with the message that you need your life to be transformed, that you need to be born again, happens here. I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, yeah, well, we know he's in a better place. Well, where is he? Because he lived terrible on earth. So is hell a better place? I don't think so. By the way, there's nobody in hell at the moment. They're all in the place of waiting. They're all on death row. They're all waiting for the judgment. Because some Christians have got that wrong as well. And by the way, heaven's not Disneyland in the sky. We've got a plan and a purpose for God to do something with. But I'll tell you what. See, I know that I wasn't born again. Yeah? And I could play, because I was brought up to go to church, I could play the religious bit. But you see, the difference is, with born again, it's not about externals, it's about internals. So, a while ago, someone said to me, I'm going to get baptized. I said, all right. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, because I want to invite all my friends. That's a good reason, I said. But have you read Romans 6? What? You see, sometimes the things we do, we can get tied up in externals. It's a big day. We'll have some cake afterwards. Yeah? Actually, Romans 6 says that I'm buried with Christ and I die. My old life dies and I come out and I live a completely new kind of life from the inside because I've been born again of God's Spirit. I didn't know it before, just like I was in the womb and I stepped out of that into a new world. And that new world has new regulations. It has new ways of progress. It has new ways of me growing to become that new person that Christ has made me. So it's a birth of a different kind. It's a birth of another level. When you're born of the flesh, you're born into time. But when you're born of the Spirit, you're born into eternity. As many as received Him, as many as took hold of Him, I need this message. That's why I love that song, Amazing Grace, don't you? Because for months, that guy who had been a slave trader, an abuser of slave women and all that, how could God forgive me? I'm a wicked sinner. I can tell you, I can't tell you a lot, but I can tell you of a man who was Taliban. Right? And he could not, he'd heard the gospel, but he could not believe. He had blown up so many people. He had done so many evil things. And for months and months and months, he struggled. But you know what? God had got his finger on him. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I am so glad today that God got his finger on me. Because I have a brother and sister who are dead now. And I don't know where they're going. But I am so glad that God touched my life. That day I came home from that holiday. And I'd heard the gospel. And I know what kind of evil I'd been up to. Kept it all nice to mum and dad. Yeah? Yeah, go to church on Sunday. Come straight home from church. Take the tie off. Take the religious stuff off. Straight with the jeans and the Wranglers on and the Lee. By shirt and jacket and all that. Straight out with the mates doing all the sin and filth. Yeah? If I didn't know a swear word, I'd make one up. I'm telling you, someone told me, if you don't deal with that, your life's going to be a ruin. And hell is the end. And I don't know what happened that night, except that God... And some of you know, just a few months before, my father, who in a temper one night, he was a big 6-foot-odd guy, biggest man, I must have been an idiot. I mean, he was a cobbler, so he banged nails in all day and ripped leather to make shoes. He was strong. But I thought I could take him on, and I took a knife to him. And he said to me, because he was born again, he said, if that's what you want to do, do it. But I'll never stop loving you or praying for you, Paul. Like Rick said this morning. But my cousin who'd been to Billy Graham. What was the place he went now? What was the Earl's Court. My cousin had been to Earl's Court, same age as me. And Jesus had saved him at a Billy Graham crusade. And he came up to Yorkshire from London to spend a weekend with me. And I said, come out with me, we'll have a good time. But of course he had the Spirit of Christ in him. He said, I can't do that. No, I'm not doing that. What? No way. Yeah? He went back to London and he said to his mum, I'm going to come home from work every night and pray for our Paul. And then this holiday came up on the Norfolk Broads and he rang me up. He said, would you like to come on this Christian holiday? And I said, is there any booze and any good women? He goes, there's no booze, but there might be one or two good-looking women. There was one, I'll tell you now. But here's the point. On that week, God saved me. I was born again. On the Wednesday night, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Right? Speaking with other tongues. And I came home. And my dad had come home for his lunch. He worked 60 hours a week as a cobbler. Worked himself to death, really, for our education. And there he was, sat in the chair. And I walked in with my bag. And I dropped my bag down and looked at him. He said, "You've got it, haven't you? You've got it. You've been born again." And from somebody who'd wanted to kill him a few months earlier, I prodigaled on my dad and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I said, "Yes, God. Dad, God's changed me. I know now what you mean. I know now why you want to go to church. I know now why you don't swear. I know now why you don't want to do this, why you don't lie, why you take hurt, why some all this. I know, I understand it. Why now? Because there's a spirit that's come into me like liquid love and power that has transformed me. Religion won't do that." It's birth at another level. It's to be born of the Spirit, to take hold of Him. And that act of God takes place. God says, I'm drawing you to my Son. I could give you more scriptures, but I won't. Got to close. Everything changes when you're born again. Everything changes when you feel conviction of your own sin. Because all I can tell you that night is, I weren't bothered about anybody else's sin. All I could feel was my own. And I've got to get this Jesus who can set me free from this. And He did. And I knew it. So I want to say to any young people here today, you might have come to this church for years, but are you really born again? Have you had that encounter with Jesus Christ? Have you been born from above? Has there been spiritual transformation? You might have been given wonderful values and good things to be brought up with. Nothing wrong with those, and may they continue. But listen, that's not what will actually make you a born-again Christian. What about others? See, I brought this with me today. I never used it. Battery's flat anyway. Andy, I need your help.
Jesus said you must be born again.
Thank you very much. Next one. So what does it mean? I've explained it to you. Next one. Are you born again or just religious? Because religious don't mean you go to a place with stained glass windows. Right? Religion's in your heart. It's actually to say, well, I do like those warm feelings I get in church. I do like the nice feelings, and I do have a great respect for. That's what's called piety. It means you've got something, but you've not been born again. Right? See, well, I know you're born again because you won't do the things that Jesus tells you not to do. So you won't steal from your boss. Yeah? You won't. If you're married, you won't commit adultery. Yeah? Because the Ten Commandments become part of your life. Yeah? So I won't marry somebody who's not a Christian. I won't do things that's wrong. I won't go out with gangs again and do what I do. I won't. Yeah? Morally, my life changes to come into obedience with God. Yeah? Everything changes because it's not just grace. That grace that's changed me means now God says, I give you a love of the truth. And the truth is my word. Yeah? So I can't steal, I can't lie, I can't be immoral, I can't do things that's wrong. Yeah? All those list of things that you might say, you know, the world doesn't think about it. So did I. So did many of you. But praise God. Go on to the next one, Andy, quickly. Here we go. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That's what God's Word does. You're born again of it. Next one, last one. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow. I could do another two sessions. That's enough for today. I want you to go away because I'm really scared. See, a young guy who I'm training in ministry came to me this week. He says, we've got a guy in our firm. He goes to a big church in a city, the city in this county. And he says to me, oh, he said, the church I go, they always make you feel wonderful. I said, oh, you feel great. I said, oh, really? This young man I'm training is a godly young guy. He says to me, the problem is I work with him. And his mouth's filthy. And his mind's filthy. And he does things on the side. But he goes to a warm, cozy church. That the Bible talks about tickling your ears. You know, just come to this church. I'll just give you a nice little message. Tell you what you want to hear. No. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do what I say. I want to ask you to think about that in your own life this morning. So I'm a Christian. Okay. So are you being obedient to God's word? That's another story. Not for this morning. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you sent your son because religion was not enough. Because reformation was not enough. Was trying our best was not enough. Being good church people was not enough. We need to be born again. We need to acknowledge our deep sinfulness, hopelessness, and lostness without Jesus Christ. So I pray for the convicting Holy Spirit this morning to convict people. Not with a negative, that there's something that God wants to bring judgment. Your word says that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, I pray this morning for true repentance to come in our hearts about sin that we've committed. Sin that put you on the cross. Sin that you died. Sin that you had nails put your hands and feet and a crown on your head. So, Lord, I pray that we will see what it cost you. Holy Spirit, will you bring people to a place of repentance? Because when we repent, the work of the Spirit can commence and we can be born again. And I pray for those this morning, Lord, who think they can live some double life, who thinks that they can just have nice, warm, cozy feelings without obeying your truth. Please show them, Lord, they're in danger of hellfire. Because narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Jesus didn't speak that to unbelievers. He spoke it to believers. Help us, Lord, to see that. Help us to think about it. Help us to think about it in our actions, in our plans, in the things we're doing with our lives. Because one day, Lord, I want to hear your well done, good and faithful servant. God, I am scared that I should ever hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you will bring us into a fuller appreciation. If we know you this morning, if we are born again of your Spirit, may we rejoice in that. And may we look for that in those around us who don't yet know you. It will not just be bringing them to church and asking them to accept you. It will be that they hear the true gospel and grab hold of its message. May we praise you this week that we are born again. of the Spirit of God. Amen.